We want your glory to go to the ends of the earth, and we know this is a prayer that is deep in the heart of you, so we can freely pray it in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to your church and use us, that your glory might go to the ends of the earth. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is John chapter 17. It's the prayer of Jesus the night before he was crucified, the very next day. So this is Thursday evening. Might be going in, well, yeah, still Thursday evening. Starting in verse 13. So Jesus is praying to the Father. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, that the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the word of the Lord. I struggled with this sermon because it's me talking. It's kind of academic. It's a lot of teaching. But the only way for this sermon to really take hold is for it to have action to it. And so I struggled with the sermon because I can't finish it. You're thinking, oh man, it's going to go on forever? Like, when is it going to end? The sermon will actually go on until Jesus comes back, okay? But not because it won't end when I stop talking. It's our job as a church to live out the end of this sermon. It needs action. It needs you. You're the fifth act, if you will. If you've ever watched a movie, some people will say in storytelling, if you watch a movie, it has kind of like three sections. There's actually like a fourth section to the movie, and that's when the audience is sitting there impacted by the actual story. And a little bit of their heart goes with them. Have you seen the movie Coco? Raise your hand if you've seen Coco. Anybody? Coco? Oh. All right, go see Coco. Do what I say in the sermon, but then also go see Coco. You take it with you. Think of your favorite movie. You take it with you. You keep living it. It has a stamp on you. That's the way that this sermon, if it works, if we're listening, I'll be talking here to the head and to the heart, but Lord willing, it will only finish as our hands and feet are spread into action. Because the heart of what we're getting at is verse 8. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. That's the verse that we're looking at this morning. Jesus is saying, just as the Father sent him into the world, now he is going to send us into the world. You get where our action comes into play. What we're talking about is mission. Like, mission, really? Yes, mission. Jesus has been praying for the church, and these attributes, these characteristics, these marks of the church start to bubble up to the top. We've said that the church is to be full of joy. As one person said, if we're full of joy, we might need to notify our faces. The second is that we are to be a place of holiness. That doesn't mean just set apart, just over here in the corner, some holy huddle, but you're actually set apart for a purpose. We looked at the illustration of if I were to put a pin over on the table and say, well, yeah, the pin is now set apart. Well, for what? It doesn't have any holiness to it. But if I said that pin is set apart so that a couple can sign their marriage license, you go, oh, well, that's a special kind of a sacred, if you will, pin. So we too have been set apart. But why have we been set apart? So this moves us to the third attribute, the third characteristic of the church, is that we're set apart for a purpose, for the mission of God. So if you'll let me, I'd like to ask three questions of mission. Why do we have mission? What do we do with mission? And where do we go with our mission? Got it? Why mission? What do we do with our mission? And then where do we go? And I'll probably sprinkle in, those of you that are like the English language, I'll sprinkle in the other interrogatives as well. We'll talk about how, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about who, it's us, who's on mission, right? But for the main, it's just the three, why, what, and where. So let's jump into the why. Why mission? Because God has a mission. The church doesn't have a mission. God had a mission first, right? The language there is of sending. The word mission comes from the Latin word missio, which means to send. The Father sent the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. The Spirit sends us, the church. God is a missionary God. God has been sending and rescuing and seeking and saving from the very beginning. God was on mission as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, right? What does he do? He goes to them. He's pursuing people. So don't think of it so much as our church has a mission. We don't. It's that God has a mission. He uses the church to accomplish that mission. He includes the church in his mission. So God is a missionary God. It's part of his character. It's part of his nature. He is a sending God, and he chooses to send us. See, think of what God did in sending Jesus. He sent him to die on the cross to wipe away our sins. And then Jesus was raised from the dead to conquer death. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, as we affirm in the Apostles' Creed. So Jesus is reigning over all of creation, and then he breathes out his Holy Spirit onto the church that the church would send us out into the world to declare the reign of Jesus. This is the why of mission. Are you ready for this? This is a really big one right here. David Bosch says this about mission. It is alerting people to the universal reign of God through Christ. That's why we're doing this. That's the whole reason we exist. To alert people to the universal reign of God through Christ. Abraham Kuyper was a theologian. He said, there's not one square inch of this world that Jesus hasn't declared mine. Every corner of creation, even the ones that have cobwebs in them, Jesus is on the throne saying, mine. Every string in a piano, he says, mine. Every bird's nest, he says, mine. Every mashed potato recipe, he says, mine. Every ER waiting room, he says, mine. Jesus Christ is reigning over all of creation. This is the fundamental claim of the church. We say Jesus Christ is Lord, right? That's what everything hangs on. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so the why of mission is not so that the world would come to church. The why of mission is that the church would be out in the world finding the places where Jesus Christ is reigning, which is everywhere, and pointing it out. There is this beautiful overlap of the kingdom of God coming into where the world is broken. And it's our job to say, Jesus is here and he is showing up. Mine, Jesus says. Okay, so for each one of these, I'm going to give you each one of these questions, I'm going to give you your application to take home and finish my sermon for me, okay? The first one is that we would deputize the entire congregation to alert people to the universal reign of God through Jesus Christ. Like, that's a lot of homework. Let me put it this way. You ready? It's really simple. You are a sent one. Is that easier? Rather than deputize the entire congregation to the universal reign of God. You are a sent one. We'll keep it simple. Just as Jesus was sent, so you too are sent. That's the why. That's why we have mission. Well, what do we do? This is confusing. Okay, alert people. Like you run around like, ah, everybody, Jesus is on the throne. What do we do? If we are to alert people to the universal reign of God through Christ, then it means we need to declare. I made them both D's. We declare and we demonstrate that Jesus is Lord. We declare and we demonstrate that the kingdom has come. Notice I didn't say we make a committee. Did you catch that? Like, the nowhere is there, like, so go make a committee. That's what mission is. I love the way that Charles Spurgeon says this. This is for thick-headed people like me. This is what he says. Do something, do something, do something. While committees waste their time over resolutions, do something. While societies and unions make constitutions, let us win souls. Too often we discuss and discuss and discuss while Satan only laughs in his sleeves. And the Presbyterian in me says, should we form a committee to see if Satan has sleeves? Do something, right? Demonstrate is what he's saying. Live it out. That's what you do with mission. Notice he didn't say grab for power. God doesn't say, go make sure that the highest official in the land is a Christian. We need to have some evangelical emperor. That's what the world needs. No, Christendom has failed us. It's not working. It's disintegrating, collapsing around us. So we're not to get the world into the church. We're to get the world out of the church. So go declare and go demonstrate. A lot of people will make a false dichotomy here. Some will say, oh, well, and they attribute it to St. Francis, poor guy. He never said this. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, if you've heard that phrase. It's not a good one, and he didn't say it. It is necessary to use words. The gospel is something that has to be declared. So yes, demonstrate it. That's the point. I like that part. That is very Franciscan. Demonstrate the love of God, right? But you also have to say something. Remember, this is a false dichotomy, so which is it? Do we tell people about Jesus, or do we give a cup of cold water? Jesus is sitting there going, yes, do both. They'll listen to you when you give them a cup of cold water. And while you're talking to them, give them a cup of cold water. Like, I mean, this is not a dichotomy. Jesus didn't have a dichotomy in that. It's not like, so as if we are sent the same way Jesus was sent, how was Jesus sent to us? To lecture us? No. He preached, sure. But then he turned around and met the woman at the well and literally gave her living water. But he talked to her. Do you see? He's doing both. So the ministry of Jesus wasn't some short-term mission trip to preach an evangelistic message on a college campus. Or to drill a well in Uganda. Those are good things. Do them. But you can't stop at that. Mission is not a quick fix. It is the life of Jesus lived and sacrificed in a myriad of ways of declaring and demonstrating the reign of God that is coming into this world. It's not how can we attract people to come here. It's get out there and demonstrate and declare with our lives. Jesus had 30 years here on earth, 3 years of a public ministry. It's your life that is on mission with God. There's two missiologists. I didn't just make that word up. You can actually study mission, and they will call you a missiologist. Fancy, but this guy's name, one of them is Christofferson, one is Rogers, and they wrote an article called No Neutral. I love this concept. What they're saying is that in the church, we view the church as like there's like a car. You have drive, neutral, and reverse. And what they try to lay out is this, that there are Christians that sit around and think, well, yeah, okay, they're like superstar missionaries that are in Drive. Like we would probably put like Joe Yu in that category. Like, oh, he goes to all these crazy places and demonstrates and declares Jesus, you know, like, whoa, good for him. That's like 1% of the church. They're all in Drive. And then there are people that are in Reverse. We won't talk about that, but lots of sin, lots of darkness, hanging out in the bad, wicked habits, right? And then we just decide, everybody else, we're just kind of in neutral. You know, going through life. I make decisions. I'm a good person. But all of my activities are totally divorced from some kind of transcendent movement of the kingdom of God. You know, I'm just kind of making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for my kids today. Surely that's not a sacred activity. And what they say, what I love about this no neutral concept, is they say, nowhere in the Bible do we see that there are three kingdoms. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There is no neutral. There is no coasting through life, just kind of living one day to the next. You, in your actions and in your life, are either enhancing the mission of God by declaring and demonstrating his kingdom here on earth, or you're taken away from it. Are you enhancing the mission of God, or are we hindering the embodiment of the kingdom of God here on earth? An example of this, I got to experience this week. Berkeley County had a cover crop demonstration for farmers on Thursday, and we opened up our fellowship hall for them to use. You think, like, okay, a farmer, like, those are good people, but, like, you know, just kind of taking care of life. And well, they let me pray to open it up, and whenever you give me the mic to pray, I'm probably going to preach a little bit too. So I preached a little bit because I want them to know that there is no neutral in the work that they do. These are people who work God's creation, who are then going to share ideas, science, and technology in order to bring more flourishing to the earth. That's what God wants. That's kingdom work. And I wanted these farmers to know, you're participating in the kingdom of God. There is no neutral. They're demonstrating the kingdom of God. Would that we open our eyes to see that there is no, well, that's just a piano string, or that's just a bird's nest, or that's just a mashed potato recipe, or that that's just an ER waiting room ticking time away. Every second, if Jesus has said all of creation is mine, every second has a potential to be sacred. So what do we do? All right, the first one was we are sent. The second one then, here's your homework. Enhance the mission of God by demonstrating and declaring the kingdom of God here on earth. Demonstrate and declare. This could totally revolutionize who we are as a church, because it's no longer about who can we get to fill these pews. Please do fill the pews. That's great. But every single one of you, I get so excited about this, because every single one of you, like, you can't just go back tomorrow and be a teacher. You can't just be a grandparent. There is no neutral. Every second of every day, you have an opportunity for the kingdom of God to break in. You're like, okay, get to the last question. Where do we go? Where is the mission of God? This one's easy. It's in the world, right? That's where we're sent. Jesus was sent into the world. We are sent into the world. Now, the problem with Christians is we create another false dichotomy and trip over our own toes. We start arguing with each other about where is the world. Some people are like, oh, I feel called to Africa. Go! Some people say, don't go to Africa. You got to love our people here first before you go to Africa. If you feel called to be here, be here. Be local. Don't argue about it. Just start going. I'm so glad Jesus didn't argue with the Father in heaven about where the ends of the earth are. You know, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus didn't look at the Father and be like, really? You know, I kind of like it here. I'd like to serve locally. Can I, like, die for the Holy Spirit and you, Father? No, no, no. Jesus was sent to us, to earth. Praise God that the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus aren't a holy huddle, but it spilled out. His love spills out onto creation. In the same way, we aren't a holy huddle. We talked about this last week, that you're set apart for a reason. Christians are like manure, right? If you spread us out, we do a lot of good in bringing growth. If you put us in a pile, we start to stink. Don't be a holy huddle. We are to be in the world. That's where our mission is. The goal of Christianity isn't to have a Christian family where we raise Christian children, to go to a Christian school, to read Christian books, to go to find a Christian doctor, to come to a Christian country club, the church, in order to find a place of Christian employment and then one day be buried in holy ground in our church's property. I'm not knocking St. John's nor the Columbarium. Amazing ministries, I'm all fan for it, but the point here is that we're to be in the world. In the world. Not of the world, in the world. That's the where. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, not the salt of the church. If we were the salt of the church, we would just be a pile of salt, and it would do no good. It would be distinct. Oh, look at us. We have salt. But what's the purpose of salt? It's to preserve the meat. You spread it down into the meat, right? Because the meat, the culture, the world is subject to decay. Sin is destructive. But there's so much good in the culture that can be maintained by Christians if we are a part of it and say, that's beauty. That music is wonderful. Let's have more of that art. That's why Christians are to be in the world. We got to be distinct. We got to be different. You can't be more meat or it'll just lead to decay. You've got to be unique. You've got to be set apart. You've got to be holy. But that's what salt does. Go get on the meat. You're the light of the world, Jesus says. You're salt of the earth and now you're light of the world. He doesn't say you're the light of the church. Like, oh, let's just shine a flashlight in a lit room. What good does that do? You don't turn on the lighthouse in the middle of the day. Turn it on at night so that it can shine into the darkness to show the world where the perilous rocks are, that the sin that could wreak havoc on the ship. We're in the world. That's where our mission is. So if I had a new sermon title, it would be this. Get out of here. But that's kind of rude. So maybe better, like, you know, put me in, coach. Maybe that's a better one. So what's the point of this last one? My point is, you have a neighbor. Literally, you have a neighbor. It might be a coworker. It could be a family member. It could literally be the person that lives beside you. You are a sent one to demonstrate and declare the kingdom of God, the reign of Jesus Christ, to your neighbor. Get out of here. The last thing that I'd like to point out is Mr. Rogers' quotation. And anytime there's a tragedy. I think the first time I saw this quotation from Mr. Rogers was after 9/11. But anytime there's a tragedy, hurricane, flooding, these things that kind of remind me of tragic events, or remind me of his quotation in the midst of it, it's this. Whenever there's tragedy, look for the helpers. That's what his mom taught him. Look for the helpers. And I think the reason you look for the helpers is because in tragedy, that is a thin moment when God's kingdom is really fresh and we need to see it more than anything. And we see it in the lives of first responders. And one of the pictures that has struck me, I hope you've seen it as well, it kind of gets circled around, is first responders in the middle of Hurricane Florence on their knees praying before they go into harm's way. I get goosebumps thinking of it. These are people who are sent once to demonstrate the kingdom of God to the world. Now, that I know of, there are not first responders in this room. But there are grandparents, there are aunts, there are classmates, there are employees, teachers. As I look around, there are all kinds of people who can get on our knees and pray before we are sent to demonstrate and declare the kingdom of God to the world. Go finish my sermon. In the name of the Father, Son,